want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
Candace Lim, and you're listening to ICYMI, in case you missed it, Slate's podcast about internet culture. And I first off want to say shout out to those of you who are holding space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity while working this holiday week. We are God's strongest soldiers, and joining my infantry are two friends of the pod. On my left is Vox senior correspondent Alex Abad Santos. Hello, Alex.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And on my right is senior culture editor for The Atlantic. It's Allegra Frank. Hello, Allegra.
Hi, Candace. Thanks for having me.
Now, should we burst the bubble and talk about how you two know each other?
We used to date.
Oh, my God. Reunited. Parent trap.
Which would be pretty difficult to do since I'm a homosexual, but...
But she tried.
Allegra actually edited all my copy at Vox for a couple years, and we were little besties. And then we just gossiped about. I would always ask her. I'd be like, "Is this bad? Did what I write bad?" And she'd be like, "No." And then she'd be like, "Okay, it was kind of bad." And then we fix it, and then we get it into like good shape.
It was a good time. Good times.
Yeah. So you guys were basically dating. I think that's so cute because today we're legends and it's time to give thanks to the internet this year. But first, I have to note that this panel contains some of my favorite culture writers of the game. Therefore, I have to ask, what was your favorite film this year? And I do not mean best. I do not mean what's going to win Best Picture. I truly mean what went platinum on your Letterboxd this year. Alex, I'll go to you first.
Okay. So I have two favorites. One is a very good movie, and the other one's a very bad movie. The very good movie is Dune 2. I love Dune. I am Dune-pilled. I want to know more. I like Zendaya. Everyone is at the top of their game. I was convinced. I roll deep with Club Chalamet.
Oh
my God. And the second best movie of the year is Madame Web, obviously.
Oh.
I literally knew you were going to say that.
No. See what happens when you date or you are an editor?
Okay.
You see it in my mind's eye. I was like, okay. This boy.
Now, do you want to speak on Madame Web? Because I worry you may have some detractors. Do you want to stand on business, Alex?
I mean, if you ever wanted to see someone completely checked out of a movie, it's Dakota Johnson in Madame Web. And then it's like... Okay, so for the uninitiated, it's a part of the Spider-Man movies. It's like Madame Web's supposed to be kind of a psychic, and she has the whole thing is like she pulls the strings and tells the future and like gets everyone together. And that's Dakota Johnson, who is like one of the most like kind of, I guess, aloof Nepo babies that's ever existed in Hollywood. And so what you get is like this splendid, like kind of dark comedy where Madame Web just runs vehicles into the bad guy multiple times, and it's just, and then she says things like, "I've seen it in the future, you should listen to me," or "He was in the Amazon researching spiders with my mother when she died." It's like the best worst superhero movie of 2024.
I love that. Okay, Allegra, what about you? What is your number one film this year?
Well, I do have to say I saw Madame Web in 4DX, so concur. Good time at the movie. So I support Alex. I don't think it's controversial at all.
Wait, how did it feel when she took the ambulance and ran it into the bad guy? Did the seats move?
I wish I took some Dramamine. That's all I'll say. It was nauseating. They moved. They like lurched forward. Good time at the movies. It was fun. I would say, I think in terms of impact and what I still think about and reference, I've seen a lot of movies that I think are like objectively great and maybe even better than this one, but I'm going to have to say Challengers.
Okay.
Good time.
Okay.
Iconic, instantly iconic. People still reference it, still quote it. Zendaya, amazing, funny, dramatic, hot. It's just a great movie. It maybe like, I have some problems with it, but I saw it like twice in theaters, really wanted to keep going, had to be stopped. Like, I had a good time with Challengers.
Oh, okay. So fun fact, that is my favorite film of the year because I kind of feel like, first off, it hit me at a time where life was so chaotic that I was like, this is the culture I need to distract myself from reality. And so I went 3 times in 5 days. And that's what I needed to check in. I just love the way that it became my entire personality. Like, I would come home, watch edits. I'd read the script. I'd be like, oh my God, I missed that scene. I have to go back. I would go back. And then I'd be like, wait, I need to go watch the edits one more time. And it just, it was my everything. And I felt like a teenage girl. And I finally understand the Mike Feist of it all. I truly did not get him until this film. And I said, Art, you're
pretty,
I love you.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
And that kind of also cute.
Well, that also kind of brought up like the rat-faced boyfriend.
The rat boyfriend.
Yes. Oh my God. Exactly. Like so many things that it spurred this year. Like skorts. I have so many more skorts now. Yeah. I saw a woman with a tennis racket yesterday. Mm-hmm. Do you think she had a tennis racket last year? I don't think so.
No. Like, no offense to Michelle Obama, but Challengers did the one thing this country couldn't encourage me to do, which was exercise. And therefore, it really made me feel not left behind. And so, Challengers, I see you there. Dune. I guess basically what we're saying is we love Zendaya, and that's it. She won 2024. That's it.
Yeah. Absolutely. The range.
Yeah. Okay. So we're starting strong and we are now moving from the theater to the interwebs, the madam webs, because on today's episode, we're giving thanks to the best and worst things we saw online this year. I'll be back with Allegra and Alex after the break. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. It's always fun to dive into the latest rumors, like who's dating who and who will be on the next season of our favorite show. Well, here's one rumor to squash. The idea that Discover isn't widely accepted. Truth is, Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. That means it's accepted basically anywhere across the country. Don't pay attention to every rumor out there. But remember, it does pay to Discover, based on the February 2024 Nielsen report. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Hey there! If you love our podcast, then maybe you should consider subscribing to Slate Plus to immediately unlock bonus episodes. You'll access ad-free listening across all your favorite Slate podcasts, including bi-weekly bonus episodes of this show. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts by clicking Try Free at the top of our show page or visit slate.com/ICYMIplus to get access wherever you listen. And we're back. I'm here with Allegra Frank and Alex Avad Santos. Okay, so this episode is our Thanksgiving special. It's an annual tradition unto which we each bring a side, a main, a dessert to represent our favorite things we saw online this year. So I want to start with the question, what was your earliest internet memory of 2024? Alex, I'll go to you first.
So, like, this year has been super long, but what I remember, one of the first internet things I remember was the Stanley water bottle craze, which I find still completely fascinating, even though it's kind of, like, died out a little bit. But there was a moment when every single person had a Stanley, and it was on TikTok, on Instagram. You could accessorize your Stanleys. SNL was making fun of Stanleys, and it was just like, we were in a peak hydration moment. And I think Stanley water bottles were, they also represented a whole kind of like Caucasian woman culture that we were just like, everyone was just like, what is this? This is so fascinating. This is like one of those things that happens and it just like catches fire.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Allegra, what about you?
I'm Team Owala. I'm drinking from my giant Owala cup right now.
Okay, bipartisan. So. I also will add a little tidbit behind the scenes. As we all know, wonderful former co-host of the show, Rachel Hampton, did leave this year. My goodbye gift to her on behalf of our team was a black Stanley Cup tumbler with the words Erewhon on it. I literally took the logo. I stole it from the website. I put it on there. It looks amazing. And I hear she uses it every single day. So you're welcome.
We love that. That's sweet. My first memory this year, I guess there was a lot of like Royals stuff happening earlier this year, but also that Willy Wonka thing that felt really early.
Oh, like Wonka the movie or Wonka when
the Willy Wonka experience,
right? In like Belgium or something.
Yeah, the Scottish one. They did that like
it was like Firefest.
Yeah, except like it was Firefest, but the most low stakes Firefest, because it was just like, let's go to a thing that approximates Willy Wonka. We can't use any of the licensing. And then people expected it to be amazing because like the website used AI to make it look cool, I guess. But it wasn't. And it was just like very drab and like pathetic. So people were very obsessed with that. I thought it was like a little cringe, but I remember seeing it everywhere. Like they were interviewing the Oompa Loompas. It was just like a call to action for this little Scottish town. So I remember that being a really big thing. I'm looking, it was in February, apparently. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is the first meme of 2024 that we remember, Alex?
I was going to say Wonka, the Willy Wonka experience too, but the meme of like, the Oompa Loompa looking very ragged, and she looked like she was in kind of a meth lab, and like they were giving out like jelly beans, one jelly bean per child. And it was just kind of like, there was not in that moment, it was like everyone felt like the Oompa Loompa that was like chained to a meth lab, kind of working a dead end job. And it was just like so miserable looking, and you're just like, yeah, that was it. And then there was also like in the Willy Wonka experience, they like made up an entire character called like the Unknown, right? And like there, it was like this really spooky person that like lived in a mirror, and it was like nothing to do with Willy Wonka at all, which is, I guess, what happens when you put stuff into AI. And so she became a meme, like she became a whole entire meme. So that is what I remember. I was really like, I know Allegra said it was cringe, but like the doomed Willy Wonka experience was one of my favorite things of 2024.
Yeah. I'm glad it brought you joy. I'm glad it sparked joy.
I'm going to throw in one, which came to us on January 2nd, 2024. And that is Heather Gay saying the words receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots, effing everything. I mean, Andy Cohen, he did eat that up. I mean, this is from the season finale. This is before the reunions of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. This is the moment they found out that one of their own was literally insta-bullying them. And it just became the calling card of our generation. And I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with that one, especially that one seeped into, I feel like there was a point where like, RIP the Kamala Harris online campaign used it, right?
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, well, when it reaches that saturation point, like the lifespan of a meme is so, it's like that's when it ends, right? Like it's like, and poor Heather Gay is still trying to make that happen.
I know.
Dismal season this season. I love her sentimental favorite not having a great season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I know. Okay, moving on. What is a trend that popped up this year that you are grateful to have and you hope persists? Allegra, I'll go to you.
I feel like these are trends that aren't necessarily for this year. There are things like Club Chalamet, like Club Chalamet and what she represents.
Yes.
I love hyper-fixated fans who like become characters themselves, like a version of this.
Wait, Allegra, you have to explain Club Chalamet for someone who doesn't know.
Thank you, Alex.
Okay, Club Chalamet, who like, I think her moments really started end of last year, but Timothy Chalamet was huge this year. So I feel like I see her constantly to the point where it's like not even weird anymore. Mm-hmm. She's this woman, I believe she's like in her late 30s, early 40s. I'm probably aging her down.
Maybe 50.
Maybe 50.
Yeah.
She's definitely older. And she like uses that Twitter character account as far as it goes, because she is constantly posting about like how she knows Timothée Chalamet best. She has never met him, of course, but she's like the kind of diehard fan who like professes herself to be the authority on that person. Nobody treats her like an oracle. They treat her as like, there's something wrong with you, girl. And there will be times where like, for instance, most recently, there was that Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest in the West Village. And so people were like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if Timmy was there? And she's like, Timothy will not be there. He is far too busy filming. As you may or may not know, he is filming Marty Supreme on these dates in these areas, and therefore he will be unavailable. And then he showed up and she's like, I stand corrected, but I would like to say that my hypothesis was still accurate. Like, she's one of those. And I love that so much. I just love when the fan becomes a character.
She also tweeted the other day, or she's in Paris right now, and she was like, I'm visiting France, the ancestral home of Timothée Chalamet. Yeah. And you're like, the whole arc of her universe bends towards Timothée Chalamet, which is kind of like a weird thing, but also like, we were just like, oh, this is weird. This is so weird. And then it hits a tipping point where it like comes back around. You're like, actually, she kind of rules.
No, she does. I will say, I've had an interesting relationship with Club Chalamet, because I think there are four moments that made me flip-flop on her. The first one being Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet appearing at the Golden Globes together. That sparked something within her that therefore sparked something within all of us. Where she was like defending him, but also being like, she's morally corrupt. It was a whole thing. And then we come to the lookalike contest, unto which she says, this benefits me in ways you cannot imagine, a line that I really will bring into the new year. I also want to bring up the fact that she may or may not have worked in the 9/11 building. I'm sorry.
Really? In the World Trade Center? So I missed that part.
So yeah. I think this was a moment where she was, unfortunately, for some reason, talking about 9/11, and she basically talked about how she almost got a job working in the Twin Towers, and she almost was going to be in 9/11, and obviously she was not. She didn't get the job. But it was just this moment of like, you're Forrest Gump. Club Chalamet is Forrest Gump. And then the last moment I'll say is that there were some accusations that she may be a Zionist. That was not a great time for her. But then recently, someone accused her of using AI to write all of her captions. And she basically said, no, I'm actually against AI. And I was like, damn it, I think I'm back on the train. So
yeah. Well, no, like, she's actually a freelance movie critic also.
Yeah.
Screw AI. Support artists.
Yeah. Like, I just love that we know this much about her. Like, she's just a fan, right? Like, that's incredible.
I know. I would also like to just throw in Demure as a fun trend that popped up this year that, you know what? After like 6 months, I kind of enjoy. I like it sometimes.
I enjoy it because it eventually circled back to the person who created it, who is a trans woman that can now is getting invited to the biggest fashion shows, can pay for everything now. I think those are when those memes feel the best, is when like the person who created it actually gets credit for it.
Yeah,
I think that's true. Demure was created by someone on TikTok who goes by Jules LeBron. And I think they're living their best life, which is really important. The next question I have is, what is an end of the year trend that you are looking forward to?
I do love Spotify Wrapped. I will say I love I'm giving a shout out to another publication, and you know what? That's fine. I love on Vulture, they do these monthly breakdowns of like, how online were you this month kind of thing. So then it's like, you know, in December, they'll have a quiz of like, here are some moments from November, and it has like different points allotted, and you can kind of like add up if you recognize them. It's like, oh, you had 15 points. You're way too online. Log off, touch grass. Mm-hmm. And they did an end of the year one. And I think that's just such a smart idea. Other journalists No offense to Vulture, try to steal this. It's great because it's like a gamified way of like looking back at the year. And I love anything that kind of like works as an archival effort for all of this stuff, because there's so much. Like, I was looking through trying to find other, you know, moments from this year in my inbox, different newsletters. And it's like, there's just so many. We need more people who are like actually cataloging them.
Yeah.
So I love end of year roundups like that, that really in a fun way that I want to return to, because it's like, oh, it's a game. I actually can see the year, you know, through these small moments that we actually stood the test of time in these many, many moments that happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. Alex, what about you?
My favorite end of the year trend that always happens and has been happening for the last couple of years are horny Christmas movies.
Good, good.
But specifically, if you are a subscriber to Netflix, you may have noticed Hot Frosty and The Merry Gentlemen. And it just seems more and more that like Christmas has been outsourced as like the holiday where horny stuff happens. But it's always like low key horny. It's like the main characters are never horny, but it's always like this old lady that comes upon this hot guy and is like, "Auga!" But like the whole thing is just like this impeccably hot man comes out of nowhere as a himbo, falls in love with some like ambitious woman who had to move back to her hometown. And I don't know why, but I love every single one of those movies.
Yes. I've been getting really into Hallmark movies, which are not horny at all. So now that I see those, I'm like Hallmark pilled. So I'm like clutching my pearls. How dare they be horny? Well, but I need to grow up.
I mean, the plot of Hot Frosty is someone makes a hot snowman and he magically comes to life. And he's like a very veiny hot snowman. And it was also, it like raises the question of who in this town, I think the town is called like Hope Springs. Like, who in this town is making like horny snowmen with like pets and stuff? Like, the whole town is just down for it. Oh, and it's just like, that's normal.
If you had someone in your town who was capable of that, you would not stop them. You encourage their art.
The general move toward making Christmas so unbelievably horny is funny to me. And I think, I don't know, pop culture is a funny thing. And that is one of my favorite end of year traditions.
Yeah, it's the one thing that's going right in this country. And so I bless the gods of Netflix who are stealing the ideas of Hallmark. And that's totally fine. Okay, I'm having such a great time with you guys, but we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Allegra and Alex about the niches, horniest things they've seen this year. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. There's joy in finding the perfect gift for the ones you love, but it can be a challenge. Saks.com's holiday gift guide makes it easy. Whether you're surprising your hard-to-shop-for sister with a Chloe bracelet bag or gifting your partner a memorable scent from Gucci, at Saks.com, there's holiday inspiration for every personality on your list. I love using Saks.com because it is clean, easy to use, and so fun to scroll around for inspiration. I'm currently on the hunt for a really nice winter coat, and I'm also looking to put together some fun holiday looks, especially with all these Christmas parties coming around the corner. Now, thankfully, Saks has me covered because they have everything my friends have been begging me for, from Le Labo candles to Jo Malone London perfumes. And while I'm there, I might as well throw in these really cute Michael Kors boots I've been dying to gift myself. Saks.com's hand-picked guide can help take the stress out of the holidays. Add instant cheer to your home with some bright decor. Find gifts guaranteed to bring joy to everyone this holiday season at Saks.com. That's Saks.com for the ultimate holiday gift guide and all the shopping inspiration you need.
It's always fun to dive into the latest rumors, like who's dating who, and who will be on the next season of our favorite show. Well, here's one rumor to squash: the idea that Discover isn't widely accepted. Truth is, Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. That means it's accepted basically anywhere across the country. Don't pay attention to every rumor out there. But remember, it does pay to Discover, based on the February 2024 Nielsen report. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game, shifting a little money here, a little there, just hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill, too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
And we're back. Okay. Alex and Allegra, I have a question, which is, what is your favorite thing that happened on the internet this year? This really can be anything.
Oof. That's so big.
I know.
Something I liked, I spent a lot of time on Reddit, so I love anything that like creates a conversation. Like there's so many things where it's like, here's a bunch of images. I want to talk about stuff. So I personally loved the It Ends With Us drama. Because there were so many different parts of that.
Yes.
Like that can be a meme because It Ends With Us is a crazy movie.
Yeah.
So bad. So bad that I loved it though. So that you can pull memes out of that. And also it begat some amazing juicy drama. All my subreddits were filled with people like dragging out those old interviews with Blake Lively that one journalist was posting where she was asking questions and Blake was being rude to her or whatever. People pulling up those old articles about Blake's plantation wedding, overanalyzing her body language, talking about her relationship with Taylor Swift, talking about how she dated Leo DiCaprio. Like it just went so many different directions that went far beyond the movie for far too long, probably. And I loved that so much because it felt like one of those things that happens in my subreddits, like my pop culture subreddits, that like people in my real life, that people outside of that bubble were also talking about because there were so many different prongs. So I love like what feels like a multidisciplinary internet moment like that.
Who do you think won that, by the way? Who came out a winner out of the It Ends With Us saga?
I mean, probably Jenny Slate came out the best because like infallible and she just got a paycheck and is so not dramatic.
I would say whoever produced it and whoever.
Who's making money off of it?
They made so much money off of it because I think one of the things that intrigued people was like, we must go see what this movie is about now. Yeah. And they wanted to see, like, see if you could pick up the conflict and see if you could, like, figure out who was mad at who and, like, if Blake Lively was actually being really mean.
It's probably Colleen Hoover who got the best out of this, right?
Yeah.
Because now there's going to be more Colleen Hoover movies because this one made a ton of money. Nobody's mad at her. People are buying the books because now Blake Lively's face is on them. Mm-hmm. People are getting the DVD because they want to see the movie and take screenshots. So I think Colleen Hoover, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I loved The Idea of You, which was the prime movie that Anne Hathaway was in this year with Alison, who looks like milk. I loved that movie.
It was good. It had no right to be that good.
Thank you. As if I produced it. Alex, what about you? What's your favorite thing that happened on the internet this year?
My favorite thing that happened on the internet this year was all the people posting TikToks of being in storms and having their homes destroyed. So here's the thing that happened, right? Like as climate change has gotten worse, weather has gotten more temperamental and more extreme, and then people have gotten more hard-headed and not heeded the rules. The difference now is people are also like fame hungry, so they'll post this stuff on TikTok, and soon you'll be like, oh, what's up with that lady? They like gain like internet notoriety, like the woman who lived in the concrete house in Florida when Helene hit. And was just like, I'm not going to evacuate. And everyone was just like, we want to see what her house looks like. And then they kept posting. Or like there was another post from like Chicago when they had like the tornadoes. And it was just like all of this stuff happening. And you got like a firsthand like eyewitness account of it. And yeah, like it would just be like an inside look at like what the storm actually is. But also like, what are these people doing? Why aren't they leaving? Probably not great for like any kind of like risk management or any or like emergency services or FEMA that you have to actually rescue these people. But I think even like Caroline Calloway was also like not evacuating. And it was, she was just like, I live, bitch. But it's also like, this is like the worst part of the internet, but also kind of like, you cannot take your eyes away from it.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. What is a niche meme or joke that you wish more people saw? I can go first because mine is like actually cursed and tortured. So all of us know that I think the hit song of the year was Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. And Who Weekly is one of our sister podcasts, aka I listen to them and believe they're my sisters. And Bobby Fingers, the host of that show, he does this wild thing sometimes where he will open up GarageBand and just like remix songs for no reason. And so on one of the episodes, I literally had to stop in my tracks because I couldn't believe this was happening. He remixed Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso with the theme song to the Halloween movies by John Carpenter. Could we listen to a bit of it? Nice.
That's so ominous.
I love when he does that.
It's ominous. It's cursed. It's funny because like when it's over, I never want to hear it again. And then it'll be like 11 p.m. and I'm thinking about it. And so to me, I'm like, this is just one of those things that like went platinum in my house. But what about you guys? Allegra, any niche memes, jokes?
I don't know if this is a joke, but there's this author, Lauren Euler, who probably people who listen to the show have read fake accounts. Yeah. A lot of people hate her. Mm-hmm. I will not litigate that. I don't know her from Adam, but she has a new book out this year called No Judgment. And so many people don't like her in the book community or on the internet or just in general. And that book got dunked on so much in a way that like, if you care about book cattiness or just like hyper literate cattiness, I guess, where it's like all these people who love books are just being total dickweeds to another author. Like there's something very pleasant. It's like Schadenfreude, I guess. Yeah. So there were like so many people tweeting. There was a specific review in Book Forum of her book that was just like going in. And I just love when people like, I love when people throw shade in a way that's like really, really, really smart.
Yeah.
And it's not just like a book review where it's just like, ooh, go in. It was like funny how people were going in. So I loved going on Twitter, and instead of like people being like mean to a celebrity, not that I love seeing people be mean to anyone, it's just like far more satisfying when people are being mean in like an intelligent way. So this was, it was just the kind of thing where it's like, I don't even know how to talk to people about it because it was like, oh, cool. Like you're excited about a book review. But like sometimes when you read like a really good piece of writing that's like funny and people are also sharing it, like there's something that was entertaining about that. So it was definitely the kind of thing where I was like, do you want to read this 7,000 word article and like laugh at tweets about it? And everyone said no, but I enjoyed it.
I love that. Okay, Alex?
My favorite meme is Chapel Roan being mean to people and being grumpy at everyone, from like photographers to Billboard magazine to, and everyone being like, oh, she just hates being famous. I'm like, yeah, being famous fucking sucks, right? Like, it's totally relatable, but also like very funny that it's just like, the girl singing Hot to Go hates everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know what?
Relatable.
We have to respect it. It has been getting like, at what point does she stop? You know, like, where does she go?
Well,
where
does she go? I think it's also just like a commentary on just like how many people like are just dying to be famous. Mm. Like Glenn Powell loves to be famous. Maybe Sabrina Carpenter loves to be as famous as Glenn Powell, but like no one loves being more famous than him. And it's just like being able to gauge like who really wants this and who's just like wants to do music or who wants to do, and then the people who really just like cannot get enough fame and just enjoying every second of how painful it is makes me kind of fascinated in the way human brains work.
Yeah, like she's just like annoyed by pain. She's like, this is so freaking annoying.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so successful and it's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of the biggest artists of 2024 and I hate it.
Yeah, like she's never gonna post like, you know, an earnest like, thank you guys so much for the Grammy noms. Oh my God. Like she's far more likely to be like, I hate this photo they used of me for the Grammy noms. Like, fuck my managers for this. You know what we do have to say?
Yeah, she will never be Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo pretending they know what holding space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity is.
Oh my God.
Right?
I'm glad that meme has come. If that meme were like in June, I would say that is my meme of the year. Like it would still be my meme of the year.
It's absolutely perfect.
The Wicked promo. Yes, is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Here's a question. What is the best interaction that you two have had online this year? You also could tell me what the worst interaction online you've had this year is.
Oh, the best one I had all year was probably the resurgence of Sex and the City and like a whole generation of Gen Zers watching it and being like, actually, no, you're completely misunderstanding the sacred text of Carrie Bradshaw. Right.
So you liked fighting with Gen Z, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, it's just like watching how brains work is very fascinating to me. And you're just like, how could you come away with this thinking X, Y, and Z? Like there was like someone that was like Charlotte is a Republican. And I'm like, no, Charlotte who converted to Judaism and like went through in vitro and tried in vitro and then adopted a baby from China is a Republican. How could you? That is a Connecticut liberal. And it's just like very fun that this show, which like has been like was a fixture of like the early aughts and like growing up, and I was like maybe too young for it at the time. Like now I'm like, oh man. So then now I get to relive it and like love the resurgence of Carrie Bradshaw. Cannot wait for In Just Like That, the worst television show on earth.
I just remember this while you were talking about functionally yelling at people for enjoying something. I just remembered this actually very sweet interaction I had. So I saw Olivia Rodrigo earlier this year, which was super fun. And because Ticketmaster is awful, I could only get one ticket. I tried to click on two and then it took me to the cart and I only had one. And I was like, I'm sorry to my best friend, but I'm not, why would I not go? Like, sorry. She didn't take me to Eras Tour, so it's fine. I got her back taking her. But instead I ended up just going to Olivia Rodrigo alone. But I tweeted saying that I was there alone, and while I was in the security line, this woman in front of me turned to me, and she was like, am I so lame for being here by myself? Like, is that embarrassing? And I was like, no, I'm here by myself, too. And I'm like, oh, maybe we can bond over this. And she was like, oh, wow, oh, I'm so sorry. I meant, like, my daughter's not here yet. Oh, okay. I'm just straight up alone. But she's like, oh, no, are you going to be okay, though? I'm like, yeah, what, like, bye. So anyway, I tweeted about that, and I got so many replies from people who were like, oh my God, I always go alone, or like, I was so scared to go alone, like, was it okay? And I was like, no, I had a great time. Or like, people also tweeting, like, I went to Olivia alone too, and like, people were replying to each other being like, oh, I had such a good time, like, what was your favorite song, or whatever. So that tweet like just spurred all these different conversations and people like patting me on the shoulder, which was also cute, but it was nice to have some validation that that's totally fine to go to a concert alone, but then also see other people like feel better about it too. So that was a rare like positive interaction on Twitter that was nice.
Aww, I really like that. I also went to Olivia this year. I went to the DC show. And just like something I thought was really cute is there was like a girl and her mom in front of me. And like, you know, the mom didn't really want to be there, but her daughter was so clearly like, this was the concert of the year for her. She was living. She was screaming with me, screaming in her ear, Vampire. And her mom just kind of looked over at her kind of like, yep, this is parenthood. And I was like, you know what? You're a good mom. You're a good mom, and you guys are so cute, and I had a lot of fun. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Amazing. I assume you did not go alone, though.
I did go with friends, unfortunately. I was of friends. It's fine.
I feel better about it now. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. What is a tweet or TikTok or IG meme post from this year that is like seared into your brain and possibly forever?
Ooh. Okay. One of my favorite cultural figures, especially this year, but in general, is Bald and Dowd.
Bald and Dowd. Allie Civet, stand up. Stand up. Love her.
Yes. Queen. So I love that she was having a moment.
Yeah.
But she had that tweet that Sabrina Carpenter used on a billboard. Sabrina Carpenter has charmed me. I don't know anything about her, but I think waking up every day and being 4'11 is an act of bravery. Like, that was just cemented in everyone's brains, including Sabrina Carpenter, who put it on a billboard. Mm-hmm. Like, that is just iconic behavior. Mm-hmm. So the fact that like a meme like that or a tweet like that from that kind of account made it onto a billboard is just like an amazing thing. And I will be thinking about that forever. Like, that is aspirational.
Alex?
Mine is also about Sabrina Carpenter.
She was the girly this
She was. It was the troll tweet that was, I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter. Are you familiar?
No.
What? It was a fake. It was like kind of a troll account.
I think you read it.
Read it.
You guys are disgusting and weird for defending a literal weirdo. I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter when she's performing. You guys need help. Retweeted 7,400 times.
Wow.
Faved 3,800 times. It is a troll tweet about like how Sabrina Carpenter is performing mature music, and this person took it to a different level of I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter, which is basically the spoofing the whole idea that like Gen Z are a bunch of like sexless prudes and gonna be a next wave of like puritanism. So yes, I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter is very funny to me. I wish I could, I want to use that like when I'm at the grocery, at the gym, whenever someone asks me how my day goes. I want to be I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. Okay. Last question of the episode, so make it a good one. Speaking of Sabrina Carpenter, guys, what was the horniest tweet or TikTok we saw this year?
I'm on a weird part of the internet where I see a lot of like anthropomorphic animals, I'm sorry to say. So I can't
speak
even like weird. I see like sexy Lois Griffin. Like that's what my, I can't even use TikTok.
You're on like you're on like hear me out TikTok or anything.
I can't even use TikTok. It is literally hear me out, where it is like AI sexy insert cartoon character. So I don't even know how to pick. I just can't look at these things anymore. It's just that genre.
Okay, amazing. AI animals in the hear me out category. Amazing. Alex?
Wicked related. That someone is being really horny over Jonathan Bailey, and I saw it, and it was like, if Fiera was there in front of me with those pants, I would pull him down and show him something real wicked in all of Oz.
I saw that. Yeah.
I love any inner, like, make it wicked, make it, give me wicked. All I want to talk about is wicked. So yes, that any terminally horny person that wants to incorporate wicked, have at it.
Yeah.
Wait, what is yours? What is yours? I want to hear yours.
Come on, Candace.
I will give mine, which is that I would say that 2024 has been a very good year for Los Angeles, the city of which I am from and reside. And one of the biggest developments of my life is that I am now a Dodgers fan because they won the World Series. And not only did they win the World Series, but they had a parade through downtown LA, unto which two of their players stood on a double-decker bus shirtless, and their names are Anthony Banda and Kike Hernandez. I'm a Dodgers fan because there are TikToks of them to the song that's like Este, and they're just dancing and they're happy and they're hot and they're possibly drunk, and it's become they've become so virally hot that it's now a joke of like every time you play that song out loud on TikTok, your husband knows what you're looking at and he does the chores because he's like, it's okay. It's like we have Anthony Banda at home. It's okay. And I just love that because I guess I like sports now and that's going to be me, my 2025 era.
Let's go Dodgers. Let's go World Series.
No, as New Yorkers, well, I don't know. Alex, I think, could straddle the line. I don't mean to say straddle during horny. But
no self-respecting New Yorkers rooting for the Yankees. Everyone's rooting for the Mets.
I have no self-respect. I hate myself because I love the Yankees. And it's a sore subject.
Let's go Mets.
Wow. Okay.
It's fine. We love them all.
Well, guys, I've had a really fun Friendsgiving with you. Where can our listeners find you guys on the internet?
Please don't.
Okay, nice. Okay, nice.
Go to that pocket of Hear Me Out Twitter, and then you'll find Allegra.
Go on your Hear Me Out TikTok feed, and you'll find me in the comments.
Take a lantern and a canary. Go down to, like, the darkest corner of the internet where they're, like, lusting over the tiger in Zootopia, and that's where Allegra is.
I'm Legs Frank on Blue Sky and Twitter. Don't look for me anywhere else. It's not safe.
Yeah. Alex, you want to throw your handles?
Since Twitter, you're not supposed to use it anymore. Sure. I've locked my account. I'm on there as Alex_ABADS. I'm on Vox. I'm on Blue Sky, but I don't know what to put on Blue Sky. It's weird. What are you supposed to put? Like, yeah. It's just like,
I don't really get it.
It's like gotten really very like blue wave grifters have just come on and they're just telling me things about Democrats. And it's just like, I don't want to play with those people on the internet.
I mean, I think what you should do, Alex, is disrupt the space. Just like start posting thirst traps with no captions and let that kind of take over.
Like chaos, you know? Right?
Like be
an agent of chaos.
Yeah. And therefore you will be the Jack Schlossberg of Blue Sky, which I think was your destiny. Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah, perfect. That is what what we could all aim for.
Okay, that's the show. Many thanks to Alex Avad Santos and Allegra Frank for joining me on today's episode. You can find Alex's work at Vox.com and Allegra's work at TheAtlantic.com. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, and you can always drop us a note at ICYMI@Slate.com. ICYMI is produced by Sierra Spragley-Ricks and me, Candace Lim, with production assistance from Alexandra Boti. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's vice president of audio. See you online or on Hear Me Out Talk. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. There's joy in finding the perfect gift for the ones you love. But it can be a challenge. Saks.com's holiday gift guide makes it easy. Whether you're surprising your hard-to-shop-for sister with a Chloe bracelet bag or gifting your partner a memorable scent from Gucci, at Saks.com, there's holiday inspiration for every personality on your list. I love using Saks.com because it is clean, easy to use, and so fun to scroll around for inspiration. I'm currently on the hunt for a really nice winter coat, and I'm also looking to put together some fun holiday looks, especially with all these Christmas parties coming around the corner. Now, thankfully, Saks has me covered because they have everything my friends have been begging me for, from Le Labo candles to Jo Malone London perfumes. And while I'm there, I might as well throw in these really cute Michael Kors boots I've been dying to gift myself. Saks.com's hand-picked guide can help take the stress out of the holidays. Add instant cheer to your home with some bright decor. Find gifts guaranteed to bring joy to everyone this holiday season at Saks.com. That's Saks.com for the ultimate holiday gift guide and all the shopping inspiration you need.